Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters this morning on our third Sunday of Advent. We have a special treat for you today. Our Sunday school is going to open up our service in lieu of our opening hymn this morning and give us their Sunday school Christmas play. So that's how we'll begin our service this morning. If you're tuned in on the radio, we hope you enjoy hearing the Christmas story from our Sunday school this morning as we get started with that today. So again, we'll omit the hymn of invocation in the bulletin, and we'll just jump right in with the invocation itself after the play. So with no further ado, we present the Sunday School Christmas play.
Was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, there was a shepherd out in the field, keeping watch over his flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the glory of the Lord shone around him. And he was filled with great fear. And the angel said to him, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, and the shepherd said to himself, "Let me go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to me." And he went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When he saw it, he made known the saying that had been told him concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child.
Go and search diligently for the child.
And when you have found him, bring me word.
When you have found him, bring me word.
That I too may come and worship him.
That I too may come and worship him."
After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about.
Excellent work. Excellent work. Let's see. At this time, if the congregation would please stand if you're able. And we're on page 2 in the bulletin for our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with our introit from Psalm 85. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. We continue with our Kyrie this morning, the spoken together. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. be to God.
The epistle is from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecy, but test everything. Hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
We invite you at this time to confess our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for this morning? It's hymn 563, "Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness." the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Our text this morning for the sermon comes from Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 61, where he speaks of the future. He's prophesying in Israel around the 8th century B.C., so roughly 700 years before Jesus is born at Bethlehem. And Isaiah's words point forward like an arrow fired from a bow on its long flight down through the centuries. It would eventually hit the bullseye of its meaning in Luke chapter 4, about 733-ish years later. This is the account from Luke 4, verses 16 to 21. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." See, Jesus was the bullseye of Isaiah's prophecy that we heard from chapter 61 this morning. He was the goal. He is the fulfillment. Isaiah spoke of Jesus' day and of Jesus' work and of his beautiful salvation. And you know what's amazing about that? It's amazing that when we see who Isaiah is talking about in chapter 61, it helps us understand not just what Jesus read out loud in the synagogue in Nazareth on that Sabbath, verses 1 and 2 of the text, but also that now we know what the rest of what we read was about too. It was about Jesus. So what else does Isaiah have to tell us in chapter 61 about Jesus? Well, he gives us a description and an explanation of what Jesus will do for his people, for Zion, for his church. Yes, even for you and for me. Listen to what he says in verse 3. He says, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. What is that saying, a beautiful headdress? I mean, this kind of sounds weird to our ears a little bit in our culture today. But in order to grab a hold of this, we got to think about Nineveh and Jonah. Do you remember that scenario? Jonah goes finally, after much trouble, into Nineveh to preach to those people that they ought to repent. And the amazing part about Jonah's story is that the people of Nineveh listen. And the king himself repents in Jonah chapter 3, verse 6. And you know how he repents? He sits in ashes. And then he makes an order of national repentance and national sackcloth and ashes. And I thought to myself, I'd sure like to see that today. Could you imagine the Oval Office? It's a weird thought, huh? Filled with ashes. And a national proclamation from the president as he is addressing the nation, and that proclamation, instead of explaining what's going on or something like that, he says, Repent. Turn back. Maybe God will have mercy. That would be awesome. I think every Christian in the world would go, woo! It's kind of interesting, though. You know, Nineveh, it was a pretty big city. One person came and preached, and the whole nation repented and was spared. Right now in our country, in every single little map dot town, there's people preaching. But is anybody listening? Isaiah goes on mentioning this headdress. It's a strange word in Hebrew. It's the word pir. Pir. We wonder, what is that? It's a symbol of royalty, is what a headdress is. I'm sure you've seen one. If you think back on coronations or something you saw on television, Christ comes to take his people from repentance, from ashes, to true headdress-style heavenly royalty. In the book of Job, Job uses this same pier to describe the days when he was blessed by God. And in Exodus 28, verse 40, this is what the priests wore in Israel, the sons of Aaron. So Isaiah is telling us what Jesus does for us. He brings us from a life of destructive sin, where we focus only on ourselves, kind of what we're seeing is so popular in our country right now. Definitely what needs repentance. We end up hooked on achieving worldly things, our own goals, to try to gain wealth or pleasure. But Jesus is taking us from a pile of ashes to a life of true nobility, heavenly royalty, a life where, like good kings and queens, we don't live for ourselves, but for others. Did you know the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, you've all as believers, he tells the church, become kings. And we can say too, and queens. It's in our baptism, friends. Our daily reality, not of just being baptized one time, a long time ago, in the past, but in living in the daily reality of holy baptism. God takes us from the ashes of repentance to true royal status as his children. Through the gospel, through his forgiveness, he lifts us up. The scriptures say this regarding us being made his children in the waters of baptism. It says, if children, this is Romans 8, verse 17, if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might be glorified with him. Have you thought about this? He's given you true royal status. True royal status. Have you ever wondered, maybe when you were watching a coronation or some event with royalty, what it would be like? I mean, there's been movies made about this, of course. What would it be like to be a king? Or a true queen? That's what Jesus has given you. That's what Isaiah is telling us. He does. By faith in Christ, you're royalty. But a good king or queen doesn't take. They give. They set themselves aside and they provide for others of their kingdom, right? Have you been living your days for yourself? And then finding that you don't feel fulfilled with your life? Not satisfied with what you have? Are you unhappy? You want more, you pray for more, and then watch to see if God is real. He's real, then he'll give me what I want. Friends, we need to sit in the ashes again, if that's our perspective. He's already given us everything in Christ. We're members of the courts of heaven, but we so desire the temporal things of the earth and end up misunderstanding his kingdom altogether. Do you remember what he told Pilate before his crucifixion? When Pilate said, "Are you a king?" He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." That's what we forget, friends. Royal nobility by faith of a kingdom that's not of this world. But it is at work here. As kings and queens, we're under Christ's authority in service to his purpose in a dark, dark world. If we've been on our own quest, trying to build our own kingdoms, then we need those ashes to repent. For he is, as the Bible calls him, King of kings and Lord of lords. We should see how this world works through his eyes, through his word, and we'll understand all that is here on earth, all the treasures that we think we want, all the things they're selling us and we're interested in, they're to be used for his kingdom care, for his purpose, not hoarded up by us. If all things are already ours, think about it this way. You drive around in your car and you see that beautiful mountain property and you see the for sale sign on it. And you think, oh, if I could only buy that, wouldn't that be great? Or you travel down to the coast and you see that beachfront house and you think, wow, wow, we want it. But as joint heirs with Christ, this is the impact, this is the weight of what the text is saying. As joint heirs with Christ, every treasure is already yours. Everything promised you, willed to us in his last will and testament. The scripture says, after the end of this world, that he's going to come back and he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth in which we will reign with Christ. So the things we covet, they're here for a completely different purpose than the one that we think they're here for. We think they're here for us. But they're not. They're here for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords' purpose, which thankfully he included us in, right? In his care for us. And so he allows us to use them and be stewards of them and take advantage of them too. Thank God. They're to be used for his purpose also. To bring others for whom Christ died out of the ashes and give them the royal status that we enjoy. The headdress of a king and a queen and a priest. It's easy to get hung up on ownership and treasure. But I submit to you this morning, think of it the way the Bible talks about it and see that in Christ, it's all already yours. Why get hung up on that? That temporal stuff. But it's been entrusted to us for a purpose. Simply put, to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. Be the royal heir that you actually are and learn to serve God and neighbor. And your joy and gladness will return and be your constant companion. That's what Isaiah mentions in the next verse. The oil of gladness, he says, instead of mourning. Oil is a symbol of anointing in the Bible. In the scriptures, it was used to anoint kings and priests. those who serve God and His purpose. And this oil, according to the prophet, replaces what? Mourning or grieving. We mourn when we feel like we've lost our purpose. But in His purpose, having been anointed to bring gladness to those who think they're without a purpose in this life and show them that they have a heavenly royal purpose of love. We're anointed as God's people to bring hope and gladness in the good news that Jesus died for everyone's forgiveness. We don't need special skills for that purpose, just our faith. He goes on, then says, the garments of praise instead of a faint spirit. A garment of praise that we wear is, it's metaphorically speaking, like the one who returned home as the prodigal son from the pig fields of sin. And our Father doesn't condemn us, but puts on His robe of righteousness and mercy, like Isaiah said in verse 10. Our faint spirit then changes to praise, and we're amazed at the love that God has for us. And we sinned against Him so many times, and we've chosen our own way over and over, and we've even been forgiven by God many times over also, and then wandered back to the slop. And our reason, it tells us in our minds, you know, if I treated somebody that poorly in life, that I went to them and asked them to forgive me, and then I went and did my own thing, and then I went back, 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 and then I went back. He'd never take me back. He'd have me all figured out. He'd know who I really was. How could He forgive me again? Friends, listen to the prophet Jeremiah as he wrote in the book of Lamentations, as he was sitting in ashes himself in his laments. He says this about God, about our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope, not in the riches of this world, but in the kingdom of heaven and in Him. We're not forgiven, and we're not redeemed, and we're not given royal status in the heavenly courts because of our deeds or our thoughts or our commitments. Our hope and gladness and joy and peace and royal status is not dependent on us, but on Him. How can you be sure that you're not just imagining this headdress of royal status, pretending that you're okay with God when you're actually not, acting as if you have garments of praise when you don't actually have one? Well, that's where Isaiah finishes up. Look to the cross. It was planted in the ground, like Isaiah said, an oak of righteousness. Jesus died for you. He rose from the grave for you. Then you're not imagining anything, always back to the cross. That's where our assurance is that we are forgiven and we are loved and we are royalty in His heavenly court and joint heirs with Christ, and our status isn't earned by us, but it was earned by our Lord Jesus. And it stands firm. This is what Isaiah finishes up with, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And you say, oh, is he still talking about Jesus? He is, for our Lord Himself planted in the ground in His tomb. But like all seeds once planted in dirt and ashes, it springs up to life. And He resurrected from the grave. Our Lord Jesus is alive right now, today. His heart is beating again, and it's beating for you and for all those for whom He died. That God may be glorified in bringing us that royal status to all those He loves through the word of forgiveness of sins. We look at what Isaiah says about Jesus, but we also hear what Jesus has done for us. His forgiveness is yours today. His royal status is yours today. His kingly headdress, his garments of praise, he promised you everything and more. So now, as kings and queens under the King of Kings, we get to joyfully, having received all this from his mercy and his hands and his promises, go about the task of bringing it to everyone else. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you sent John the Baptist to proclaim the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Grant that we who prepare to celebrate the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ may die to sin and rise to this new life that you've won for us, that we may treasure up and ponder in our hearts all that you've won. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you sent John to proclaim the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Richly and daily forgive our sins and the sins of all believers. We pray this morning that you'd bless Matthew, our Synod President, James, our District President, Dan, our Circuit Visitor, and all pastors in Christ. Gather and preserve your whole church, Lord, by your voice, and send us faithful preachers who will not deny but confess your truth. Lord, and send to your table those who need you. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, be the source of strength and comfort for every home. Bless the children of our families, that every darkness would be lightened by your Son's gracious presence. Preserve them from dangers to body and soul. Guide them by your word in wise paths, and keep them firm in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Righteous Lord, you rule over all things in heaven and on earth. Until that day when your Son comes in glory to usher in his kingdom, Lord, give us wisdom and insight. And Lord, bless our leaders in this country and in this world, that we all might live peaceable lives. Lord, in your mercy. Creator of all, many in our midst have been afflicted with pain, with sickness, with trials and difficulties. And Lord, at this time of year, those are just as difficult, if not more. We pray, be merciful to those who are in need. Draw them close to you. Lord, especially we name before you this morning Leonard Vigil, Sean Austin, Mike Kirk, Reverend Mike Lastly, Jim and Linda Holman, the Connor and Parch families, Alice Sotopolik, Kevin Rice, Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, may they be granted health and strength to endure any affliction. Help us to see that when Christ returns in glory, our bodies will be incorruptible and immortal when he makes all things new, Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, your church eagerly awaits the return of her bridegroom. Grant that we would not grow weary in our waiting. Strengthen us through your word and sacraments, that we would ever hold fast your promise of salvation won for us by Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we have the blessing of hearing our TLC singers sing the song, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service today. Pray that you were blessed by the Lord's word this morning as you listened in. If you're gathered in the sanctuary with us today, we invite you to turn over to page 7 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name, sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna. Is he who comes in the name of the Lord?
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given us your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant, John the Baptist, to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood, given us to eat and to drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Take and drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lamb of God.
been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK Walsenburg.